Good morning and welcome to MCC.
Yes, of course. Merry Christmas.
Well, of course, that goes without saying.
Well, I think it should be said, Joseph.
Okay, you're right. Merry Christmas.
There, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, in fact, let me say it again. Merry Christmas!
Wow, now you have the Christmas spirit, Joseph. So let me ask you, Joseph, what is one of your favorite things about Christmas?
Well, besides the great Christmas music, oh, and the presents, I love the colors of Christmas.
Oh, like the colors on the Christmas tree, and the bows, and the presents, and the decorated Christmas cookies?
Sort of, but what I really mean is the colors of the Christmas story.
What are you talking about, Joseph? I don't see any colors on the Christmas on the Bible.
Let me give you an example. Look at the color gold. You see a lot of it at Christmas, and when I hear the golden bells of the church ringing, it reminds me of the angels announcing Jesus' arrival on earth.
Oh, I get it. Do you mind if I try one?
No, please. Go ahead.
How about the color green? It is in the Christmas wreaths we see all over the place this time of year. And it serves to remind us the green hillside where the shepherds watch their flock on the first night of Christmas.
Not bad, Adam, but I got one more for you. It's my favorite color of the Christmas story, the color red. Red like the stripes on a candy cane that lead us towards the words in the Bible that Jesus spoke and the sacrifice he made to give us eternal life.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. Come on, Joseph, let's look at my Bible. I want to look up some of the words in red and see what Jesus said.
Okay, Adam, but hold on. We still have one more thing to do.
We do?
Yes, we must tell these lovely people to sit back and enjoy this year's children's musical, Red Letter Christmas. Come
Before
on, Adam.
Before we go, have a very Merry Christmas.
Ding dong merrily on high, in heaven. The colors of Christmas are celebrated inside and outside our homes, throughout our shopping malls, and even on the funny sweaters we are asked or made to wear.
Yet if you look closely enough and stop for a few moments to consider these brilliant colors of Christmas, can help you tell the story of the birth of Christ.
Let us now take a journey and unfold the colors of Christmas, both with our eyes and our imaginations.
Gold is the glimmering color we can see in bows, ribbons, and packages.
It's the color that might be seen on top of a Christmas tree, or the color of church bells ringing a loud festive melody for all to hear.
Gold is the color that reminds us of the angels who made the great announcement in the sky that first Christmas night.
And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
The little town of Bethlehem would never be the same again.
The color green. During this season, it can remind us of holly leaves, ivy, and Christmas wreaths.
It also reminds us of Christmas trees in every home, all brightly decorated with homemade ornaments.
green. It also brings to mind the grassy hillside of Bethlehem, where the shepherds were watching their flock the night of the angel's announcement.
And there were the in the same country shepherds abiding their flock by night.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass."
Green, we can see it in our eastern trees, but also within the journey of the shepherds to worship and rejoice at the manger.
Can make us think of snowflakes, snowman, and the fun of throwing a snowball.
The color of blue can remind us of a favorite ornament or of a strand of shimmering and flashing lights on a tree.
White and blue, they also tell of the bright star in the sky over Bethlehem that led the wise men on their long journey to Jesus.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him."
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him.
White and blue, like the wise men, may we seek after the Christ child too.
Thank you.
describes the delicious candy canes and the petals of beautiful poinsettias.
Red is seen in festive holly berries and brightly colored nose of our favorite little reindeer.
Mixed with many other colors, red just might be the most vibrant and utilized color in all of Christmas.
When we flip through the pages of the Bible, we can even see letters in red. These are the words of Christ. They are colored red to remind us of his sacrifice for us on the cross.
He came as a Christ child born in the manger, but later gave his life so that we could be with him in heaven forever.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
The color of salvation, the red that makes us see, the words that Jesus told us, the blood that sets us free.
Opened up my Bible, my light, my daily bread. What danced upon the pages were all the words in red. As I moved among the letters, Christmas came alive. From heaven to a manger, our Savior comes to die. Greatest treasure wrapped up in human clothes, Jesus, Son of Mary, and gave us righteous robes. The color of salvation, the red that makes us hear, the words that Jesus told us, the blood that sets us free.
Festive and vibrant colors.
Over and over, these colors tell us a story that has literally changed the world.
And the words in red, the red loaves of Christ, they still speak to us today. This season, look for the story of Christ as you look all around.
The magnificent colors of Christmas remind you of the true meaning for the season.
For God sent His Son into the world. For God sent not His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
The colors of Christmas, they tell His story. A red letter Christmas.
Holly, we can sleep tonight now. That's done. Oh, they did great. They did great. It never ceases to amaze me. What they can do, if you saw our last couple of practices, you'd be shocked that it went that well. I'm very happy they did great. And the soloists, my two solo girls, didn't they do great? You want to talk about two nervous people. Woo! Oh, it was great to see. And my older kids that helped, that were in the back rows, that made sure the kids remembered their words and everything, thank you so much. I couldn't have done it without you. So, Sheila, thanks for throwing Mary and Joseph costumes together. And to my wife, thank you for putting up with me through another Christmas musical season. So, just have a quick few words to say. Unlike Pastor David, when I say quick, I mean quick. Please be praying for him. He's feeling a little under weather, and he's feeling a little guilty that he couldn't stay this morning. But we sent him home to get some rest because we have a big week coming up, and plus his family's here, so he should get as much rest time and enjoy Christmas with them as possible as they do that this weekend. So please be in prayer for him. I don't know whether he's feeling worse about being sick or feeling guilty about not staying through it today, but we told him it was more important that he get healthy because he still has plenty of things God wants him to do in the upcoming weeks. So, real quick, don't forget, we still have, we have one family we're trying to help with Christmas gifts this year with four kids, a total family of six. And then Tuesday, before the funeral dinner, we had another mother show up with four kids that could use some help for Christmas. The man of the house was able to finally get work so they can stay in their home, and that's not going to change, but now they don't have any money for Christmas. So if anybody would like to help, you can give myself or Polly the money, and we'll make sure that they get the gifts for their kids. So on that note, there was a 90-year-old couple who sat on a front porch one night. Yeah, isn't that a cute couple? The old man was overcome with romance of the evening. Must have ate the right food that night. And said to his hard-of-hearing wife, "I'm proud of you." "Huh?" she said. He said, "I'm proud of you." And she said, "I'm tired of you, too." Now, more often than not, that is the case over time. We get so familiar with each other. We think we hear what we say, and we just assume what we hear. And we begin to lose fascination sometimes with one another and emotion, and we get tired of things quickly. Things that once fascinated us now bring us little emotion. You know, a child gets a new toy on Christmas and plays with it repeatedly, especially if it's one it likes, plays with it repeatedly, but eventually the toy gets old to the child, and it just sits in the toy box collecting dust until the day you go to give it away, and then the child wants to play with it again. But right, it just sits there. An adult, we adults are no better. We get a new car or something new, and it's shiny. But after 6 months, it starts to lose the newness, and it starts to wear off. And about a year and a half or so, we want to get a new one. We have a saying around here that familiarity breeds contempt. However, more often than not, familiarity just breeds indifference. And the more we become familiar with something, the less fascination we have. The newness fades and we lose the wonder of it all. And that happens often with Christmas time too. We've heard the Christmas story over and over, and slowly the wonder of what occurred some 2,000 years ago diminishes. It fails to do much for us spiritually. We lose the wonder, and that old, old story has become just that, an old, old story. We can't let the wonder fade, folks. We need to hold on to the simple fact that the story of Jesus' birth, the reason we celebrate this season, is an amazing, marvelous event, and not just some old story. You know, we bring the kids up here every year and do a little different Christmas music. Oh, it's the same story, but we do it a little different every year because it keeps it exciting. It keeps you wondering. The kids, they have so much wonder and amazement for the story of Jesus and the birth. Even the junior hires and high schoolers, when I teach them, you know, during the Christmas season about it, they have so much wonder and amazement. Mainly the girls are wondering how a young lady the same age as some of them was able to have a baby and raise the baby Jesus. But they have wonder and amazement. They have wonder and amazement about it. Let's see if we can find some of that wonder inside of you this morning. We're going to read the account again this morning. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1. But I want you to put yourself in the story. Think of yourself maybe as Joseph, or maybe as a shepherd, or maybe as Mary, or even Elizabeth. Put yourself in the story and think about how you would have reacted, what would have gone through your head as these things occurred. Listen to it maybe as the first time, as when your parents would maybe read it to you when you were younger. I still remember sitting around, and we had a big white book. I meant to bring it this morning because I have a copy of it. Different stories of the Bible from the Old Testament to the New. And Dad would read to us from the manger, from the nativity story from that book. And I looked forward to that because of the wonder and amazement of the story of Jesus' birth. So let's look at Luke 1. We're starting Luke 1, rather. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. If not, steal one from the pew behind you. There are Bibles in here. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel one simple question. "But how? How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit with me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." I want you to jump back to Matthew real quick, chapter 1. We talked about Mary, so now we're going to talk about Joseph for a minute. Chapter 1, verse 18 in Matthew. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Jesus woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, took Mary as his wife, but he did not have relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Real quick, back to Luke 2, We got to jump around to get the full account just because of the way the Gospels are written. In chapter 2 of Luke, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1 over in Luke. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census would be taken throughout the Roman Empire. We'll jump to verse 3. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone that had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just how the angel had told them. What a story! What a story! There were times it was hard for me to not just pause and go, "Wow, what a story." And by story, I don't mean some fable that's told down from generations to generations. I just mean the story, the account of Jesus' birth. There is so much to be wondered, to be amazed at in that story. And we didn't even cover the coming of the wise men later. We didn't even cover how they had to run, as my son would say, from King Herod. And we didn't talk about any of that. And that's all in there. We didn't talk about Jesus. We didn't even get to the point where Jesus taught as a young boy in the temple. There is so much, even in these few chapters, about Jesus and his birth and his coming to this world that we should never lose wonder and amazement over. Amen? I mean, did you put yourself in Mary's shoes? "Hey, Mary. By the way, you're going to have a baby. And it's going to be the Son of God." "Okay." How many of you women who have had children had the doctor say that to you? Right? How about Elizabeth? Having barren, getting ready to... She's going to have a... God had told them that was going to be a baby who was going to lead the way for the Savior. Was going to be a great prophet. Someone who was going to tell people about Jesus' coming before. You know, kind of set the tone for Jesus who would be right behind. And Mary, or Elizabeth's there. Mary walks in the door, says hello, basically. And John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb jumps, leaps for joy. Why? Because she heard the mother's voice, the mother of the Son of God. She heard his voice and knew immediately. What a moment. Could you imagine what Elizabeth felt at that moment, filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, wow. And then men, oh boy, Joseph. "Joe, we're going to have a baby. I know we are not officially married and we have a baby coming." Joseph didn't want to disgrace her, was going to just divorce her publicly, was quietly sleeping at night, and had a dream. And what a dream! "And Joseph, you're going to name him. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to be God with us. Oh, and by the way, you're going to be his dad." Whoa. How many men remember the emotions of holding their child for the first time? Their children. Joseph, Son of God. Mary, you hold him until he's three or four, then I'll jump in. Right? It's the Son of God. And then the shepherds. Oh my gosh. I just can't even fathom sitting there quietly out in the fields. Sheep are all being good. No coyotes, wolves attacking the sheep tonight. We're good. We're just sitting there quietly. And boom, you know, these spotlights are bright if you've ever been up here on stage. And I got to imagine 100 times brighter that angel must have been when it appeared to them. And then, not one, not two, a vast amount of angels show up saying glory to God in the highest. And what'd they do when those angels left? You betcha, they went. Because that's what I would do. I'm going to go check this out. What a moment. And then everything happening in a lowly manger. Imagine what Mary must have thought about as the mother seeing her baby and then shepherds coming, people visiting the star. Just so much to take in. Can you see yourself in that story? Or at least can you put yourself in that story? That's what this season's all about. Not the stores, not the craziness of family, but a baby born in a manger, our Savior of the world. Jesus' birth is not just another story. It's the true story of God's unending love for us. It's a story with miracles, angels, and most importantly, hope. The events of our Savior's birth only happened once in history and are not going to happen again. Therefore, I am asking all of us to remember this Christmas the marvel, the wonder of Jesus' birth. If you are a believer, I want you to hold on to the wonder of Jesus' birth. I want you to tell the story of Christmas. I want you to shout it from the rooftops. I want you to be prepared to let everybody know why it's a joyous season, why we celebrate, what hope we have to look forward to. And if you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, would you let the wonder of Jesus Christ transform you today? Would you give your life to Him and allow Him to enter your world and bring supernatural change just as He did that Christmas? If the wonder of God's love has grabbed your heart today, then please come forward. Join this family, the family of God, as we sing our invitation song. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know what more I can say than what's written in your scriptures. But we thank you today. We praise you today for the wonder of your Son. The wonder of you had so much love for you, for us rather, that you would send your only Son to this world who came to be a part of our world, to teach us, and then to die for us. We praise you. We thank you. We ask that you help us remember the wonder of this season. Keep it in our hearts. And take it out to the world, to our coworkers, to our family, friends, and our neighbors. For it is in His most holy name we pray. Amen.